Hey Jerry, go Beach.
No, goodness, Bill. Oh, I'm sorry I couldn't be there this afternoon, but I had some major scheduling conflicts. I did my best just to be able to participate via teleconference.
Well, we thank you for that. This is important.
No problem.
We have a very good speakerphone, so actually, unlike a lot of meetings you go to, you can hear you better than anyone else.
Yeah, you all have an excellent speakerphone system. I can hear you crystal clear.
Great.
Okay. I'll back up a little bit.
Yeah. And just so that you know, the Ben Bulletin is here.
Oh,
so
yes.
He will monitor everything you say.
Great.
A couple of the guys that own the medical marijuana dispensaries in Lapine are also here.
Very good.
And then a couple others, like your good friend Don Greiner, and members of the public.
Very good. Okay. Well,
I'm waiting for him to do it.
Okay.
It's 3 o'clock. 2:01.
I'll call the meeting of the Lapine City Council's work session to order August 31st at 3 p.m. And welcome and introductions.
Stu Martinez present.
Kathy Agin present.
Corey Misley present.
Rick Allen.
And Ken Mollex, the mayor's present.
Would you like me to introduce himself?
Sure.
Have it on the tape.
Matt Topher present. Here at Lapine Dispensary, High Desert Botanicals.
Randy Huff, Green Knots Dispensary.
Don Greiner, Citizen.
Ed Schrack, Bulletin.
Dennis Scott, Concerned Citizen.
Thank you very much. Purpose of the work session?
Yeah, the mayor. We knew, you know, the legislature had passed some things, and we were kind of waiting for that to get done, and kind of just letting the dust settle. And the mayor felt, and I think rightfully so, that we at least get together to talk about, because of our deadlines and things, and you know, I think people read stories and you read what some other cities are doing, and thought it would be a good opportunity to talk about if we want to formally take a look at some of the options ahead. And it's real confusing between recreational, medical. What was the vote in the county, and how does that impact whether you can put it to a vote, or here's all the details. So we thought a work session where no votes would be taken. If we decided to do something, we would do it at our meeting, you know, down the road. And so, because this was obviously short notice, a lot of people might want to comment or to participate are obviously not in the room.
Good idea.
So that's where we are. And Jeremy provided you guys some documents, and so, you know, Jeremy, do you want to take it from there?
Sure, I'd be happy to. So, Council, you should have in front of you a memorandum from me to you, as well as some draft ordinances. The memorandum, I believe, does a pretty decent job of summarizing the 2015 marijuana legislation. In particular, it summarizes the intent and effect of House Bill 3400, Senate Bill 460, and House Bill 2041. What I'd like to do at this time is briefly summarize what each of these legislative actions provide, and then identify perhaps for you some of your options under this legislation, provide Rick and Corey and staff an opportunity to provide you some additional feedback, and then turn it over to you and the public for discussion and perhaps questions and answers. With that being said, House Bill 3400. House Bill 3400 essentially, in a nutshell, authorizes a city to adopt an opt-out ordinance. And this opt-out ordinance is an ordinance that if the city falls within or is located within a county that did not support Measure 91, that particular city is able to opt out or otherwise prohibit certain marijuana activities and operations. The city of Lapine is located, of course, in Deschutes County. And in Deschutes County, there was a vote of 52% in support of Measure 91, and therefore the City Council on its own accord could not adopt an opt-out ordinance. However, under this legislation, even a city that is located in a county that supported or voted in favor of Measure 91, that particular city, the City Council in particular, could in fact put together and support an ordinance that would prohibit these identified marijuana activities or operations, provided that the ordinance is submitted to a vote of the people at the upcoming November 2016 general election. And so the types of marijuana activities...
Jeremy, the date, just remember, I was kind of surprised. It's November 2016.
Right. Correct. It's next year.
Yeah, year and some months. Yeah. Okay, go ahead.
No, that's fine. The ordinance itself, you know, in light of the amount of time that it takes to develop these types of ordinances and to ultimately put it on the ballot, would be something that if the city was interested in pursuing that or going that direction, we'd want to start that process in the spring, perhaps winter, of 2016, or I should say 2015-2016. Just because it takes quite a bit of time to go through that ballot initiative process. Now, I want to be certain, or I should say, I want to be clear that the council understands that the prohibition ordinance, the opt-out ordinance, would not prohibit or otherwise limit a dispensary that was already, for lack of a better term, in operation. If you would note my paragraph 4 under House Bill 3400, I identify those dispensaries that would be exempted from any type of prohibition ordinance. And so to the extent that the city's current dispensaries fall within one of these exemptions, even if the electors, even if the voters voted in support of and passed ultimately a prohibiting ordinance, those dispensaries would be permitted to continue to operate. What it would do is prohibit any future dispensaries from being located inside the city limits when the existing dispensaries, or if the existing dispensaries went out of business, then no further dispensaries could be put in place within the incorporated limits. The referral process allows you to prohibit the same types of activities that you would be permitted to prohibit if, in fact, the city was located in a county that did not support Measure 91. And then finally, House Bill 3400, in pertinent part, allows you, not that you didn't already have this authority, but it furthers or memorializes the city's authority to adopt reasonable time, place, manner restrictions as it relates to recreational marijuana. And just as a reminder, I am still of the opinion that regardless of whether or not you decide to go forward with an opt-out ordinance that would be submitted to the voters, the city still needs to consider adopting time, place, manner regulations as it relates to recreational marijuana. And that is because our time, place, manner ordinance that is currently in place pertains to medical marijuana dispensaries, not recreational. And that was intentional because as of yet, and still to this day, OLCC has not come out with their formal regulations. Those are pending. And if you recall, we decided to wait and see what the state comes out with, OLCC in particular, as it relates to recreational marijuana before going too far down the road with our the adoption of our own regulations. So I can pause for a moment and answer any questions that you, council, may have about House Bill 3400. If you don't have any questions, then I'm going to jump to Senate Bill 460.
Ken here, Jeremy. I guess my question is around, for some reason or other, I had it explained to me at one time, and I thought I had, that if a city within a county had voted against it, but not by 55%, like ours was 53.36% in the city limits voted against recreational marijuana, that we would have options to either allow or prohibit it?
No, I think the information is perhaps that you received is a bit misguided. It's county specific, not city specific.
Okay. So, is this the area of the law of what was passed by the legislature that would allow us to deal with the recreational marijuana as of I think it's October 30th?
No, that's 30th. Senate Bill 460.
Okay.
And shall I move into Senate Bill 460?
Thank you. Go ahead.
Well, there may be
okay.
A question.
Oh, sorry.
Cedric.
Move on.
Okay. Senate Bill 460. This is the legislation that would permit a dispensary to sell limited amounts of recreational marijuana for the period commencing October 1st through December 31 of 2016. What Senate Bill 460 essentially does is, quote unquote, provides a gap filler. And the gap filler is created by virtue of the fact that recreational marijuana facilities will not be in operation until, let's just say, the middle part of 2016. I guess theoretically they could be operational in the spring of 16. But the legislator and the governor decided that in lieu of waiting until these dispensaries were fully functional, they would go ahead and adopt some legislation that would authorize the early sales from the dispensaries. And that is exactly what Senate Bill 460 does. Within Senate Bill 460, there's language that would permit a city that has dispensaries to prohibit those dispensaries from selling recreational marijuana for the period commencing October 1 of 15 through December 31 of 16 if the city adopts a prohibiting ordinance, an ordinance that would prohibit those early sales. Now, this is time sensitive. In my opinion, in particular because you've got dispensaries that are located inside the incorporated limits, if you desire to go that direction, you would need to adopt this ordinance in the month of September, because I would want that ordinance to be effective prior to October 1st.
Okay.
Any questions on Senate Bill 460?
I think that's where, Jeremy, I had a question.
Sure.
On 460, paragraph 1, where it says no voter referral is required.
Correct. And so that comment was included in the memo because despite the fact that Deschutes County voted in support of Measure 91, in contrast to House Bill 3400, Senate Bill 460 allows cities to prohibit early sales of recreational marijuana regardless of the outcome of the vote for Measure 91. You don't have to go to the voters to support this ordinance. You as the council under Senate Bill 460 have the authority to adopt this ordinance.
Okay.
And that would just limit the recreational sales until some date coming up in the spring.
Correct. Yeah, basically it would just prohibit the recreational sale of marijuana from a dispensary until the recreational facilities were operational. And to be clear, regardless of whether or not you adopt an ordinance under House Bill 3400 and send it to voters, and or you adopt an ordinance under Senate Bill 460, this legislation does not permit, and you otherwise are not being asked to regulate or control the personal use and consumption of recreational marijuana or medical marijuana. In other words, we're not attempting to go and adopt legislation that would otherwise limit the personal use of marijuana, and frankly, even the personal growing of marijuana for the individual's own use.
Right. Medical marijuana would go on as normal.
That is correct.
Right. Okay.
And Jeremy, if I could ask, what you just said was that anybody that wants to grow it or use it would not be prohibited the city wouldn't have any ability, nor would the city wouldn't have any ability to regulate that.
Yeah, we're not trying to attack, okay, for lack of a better term, or address, perhaps would be a better term, the personal growing and use of marijuana. We're focusing in on commercial or retail sales.
Jeremy, with the 460, this is Kathy.
Yes, Kathy.
If perhaps there is something in the works now that would be coming into town, besides the two we already have, would 460 then prohibit that, or the fact that they're possibly working on this, would that give them an end? Does that make sense?
It does, but to clarify, if we were talking, well, I guess frankly, regardless if we're talking about a medical marijuana dispensary or a retail outlet, if you will, a retail distribution center, no, Senate Bill 460 would not have any impact on those facilities other than as it relates to if one of these businesses is a dispensary with intentions of selling recreational marijuana. If that is the case, then yes, an ordinance adopted under 460 would prohibit that sale.
Now, if Jeremy, when the whatever in the spring, when this ban would go away, if we did this,
yep,
ordinance, can existing medical marijuana guys sell recreational? Or are you saying the establishment of new? I mean, are we saying we'd have medical marijuana dispensaries and freestanding recreational, or would these guys that have medical marijuana be able to just start selling recreational?
Yeah, so another great question. So to be clear, this only provides medical marijuana dispensaries the ability to sell recreational marijuana until December of 16. Once December 31 of 16 goes by, medical marijuana dispensary facilities no longer are permitted under the law to sell recreational marijuana. Unless, of course, the legislator adopts new legislation next year.
Oh.
This does not govern or control recreational facilities. This is specific to medical marijuana facilities.
So this basically gives the medical marijuana dispensaries have a year plus,
yes,
to sell recreational. At,
yes,
that point, they can't sell it out of the same store.
Correct, unless the legislator adopts new legislation.
Yeah, don't worry about new because, yeah,
okay,
obviously.
So you are correct. For that period, medical marijuana facilities could sell recreational marijuana.
Can the medical guy rent a spot next door and just start selling recreational?
One more time, Rick.
Can the medical marijuana dispensary just rent the spot next door to him and start selling recreational?
Well, no, because that medical marijuana facility would be limited by virtue of your TPM and state regulations.
If we've adopted the TPM on recreational.
Correct. But there's still, regardless, there's still restrictions through the state and through your TPM ordinance that are going to control the sale of, well, medical marijuana, but definitely the locations.
Well, if we adopted the TPM, if we took our medical ones and made them recreational also, and it made them all be about, you know, X amount of feet apart,
right,
there really wouldn't be too much room for any more anyway. You
That's
could
correct.
End up with a situation that that you would have the two medical guys we've got, and there's no room for a recreational because he can't get the distances in our commercial zone to build.
Oh, I see what you're saying. We're going to have to address that. That's the bottom line when it comes to the recreational sale. I don't know how or what OLCC is currently proposing by way of where these recreational retail establishments may be located. I'm assuming that they're going to have some buffers between the medical marijuana centers, establishments, and the recreational. But regardless, I've got to assume that the City Council is going to be exploring some geographical limitations as it relates to having a recreational facility located right next door to the medical marijuana facility.
Yeah, well, I think we need some regulations on the recreational, some rules. But if we're going to go to the voters, I mean, we're not going to, I mean, hate to be writing ordinances that are going to be meaningless, too.
Right.
So, you know, in other words, we spend a bunch of legal time coming up with ordinances that will never go into effect. Because if the voters voted to ban it, it's all mute.
I hear you. I agree. Yeah. The issue, though, by way of what you do in the interim is important because,
right.
You know, there's going to be a significant gap of time between now and the general election in 2016. Now, you, LaPine, there's not much you can do. If you were to tell me you wanted to adopt an opt-out ordinance, or I should say present it to the electors, you don't have the ability to adopt a de facto moratorium by adopting a prohibition between now and then. In contrast, other cities that are located in the counties that did, vote against Measure 91, some of those cities are adopting a de facto moratorium by adopting the prohibition. They're then going to take that ordinance, send it to the electors in 2016, and have them vote on it. You don't have that luxury. You're going to have to continue to follow what's in place now or any other modifications until 2016. And if that was approved in 16, it likely wouldn't become effective until January of 17.
And I just read, was there like 7 or 8 cities so far? I think yesterday I read 7 or something. It's something like that.
And what, 2 counties?
5 counties.
5 counties?
5 counties. Yeah. Jefferson, or Crook. Crook did. And then 4 others, I think.
Oh, so
something
like that.
Okay.
I want to back up for a moment. As we're talking here, I'm looking at House Bill 3400, and it would appear that House Bill 3400 provides that if, in fact, you present an ordinance, an opt-out ordinance, to the vote of the people, and send notice of that ordinance to the OLCC, that will, in effect, place a moratorium on dispensaries, any future dispensaries, until the ordinance is either passed or voted, or, you know, until the ordinance is presented to the voters.
Okay.
Does that make sense?
Yeah. It does to me.
Run that by me again.
It says that they will discontinue registering those entities to which the prohibition applies until the date of the next statewide general election.
Oh, you're saying registering new?
Correct, new ones. It still does not apply to those that are in place currently. They will receive a grandfathering, if you will, regardless of whether or not the city council decides to go with the opt-out ordinance.
Okay.
So the final piece of legislation is House Bill 2041, and this is simply legislation that replaces Measure 91 in the grower tax imposed upon Measure 91. In lieu of that, it imposes a tax upon a marijuana retailer. It's a direct tax on the consumer at the point of sale, and the tax imposed is 17% on recreational marijuana sales. Under Section 1, I identify in general the breakout as to how the tax that is collected will be dispersed between the school fund, state police, cities, counties, and so forth. My suspicion is, Council, that the amount of revenue that the city of LaPine stands to gain from recreational sales is ultimately going to be relatively minimal. And likewise, as it relates to medical marijuana sales, and that's a bit of a different issue, my suspicion would be it would be minimal as well.
Now, we have a 5% is all on them.
You do.
So that 5% is unaffected by this, correct?
That's a great question, and frankly, that's probably one I'd rather have an executive session.
Okay.
Just because of all of the legalities and the issues that are currently developing with the taxing issues.
Yeah.
Okay.
Well, because but as you have a big tax difference, it's going to affect where people go to buy. See, that's the gorilla in the corner of the room. If you've got a 17% tax on recreational and 5% on medical, and people can get online and get their medical doctor license to go down, we all know where they're going to go because you're going to save a lot of money, but avoid the tax. So it's going to be interesting how that all shakes out. I don't think any of us know, but that is going to throw the marketplace.
I agree, and I will point out one more thing that many of us probably are not aware, and that is the state currently does not tax medical marijuana. There's this assumption, perhaps, that the state is currently taxing medical marijuana, and that's not the case. As it relates to recreational, of course, the state is attempting to impose a tax on recreational-driven sales. One more comment: to the extent that the city wants to tax recreational marijuana, that is a component that does need to be referred to the voters, and it should be referred to the voters at the next state general election, which again is November of 16.
So, if we want a tax beyond the 17%.
No, that if you want to attack, I'm sorry, if you want to assess that 3% tax under House Bill 3400. Remember, the state is basically taking the position under House Bill 3400 that only the state has the authority to tax recreational sales, with one exception, that is a city can adopt, or a governing jurisdiction can adopt a tax up to, but not to exceed 3%.
Yeah,
but that is currently the state's position vis-a-vis House Bill 3400.
But I think that confuses the November election when you start. If you're going to have one question to people, do you want to ban it or not? And then, oh, by the way,
do you want to tax it?
Yeah, I mean, no, I agree.
How do you run a campaign? Vote yes, vote no.
Yeah. Very difficult, but I do know that some cities are going to go that direction because they're not convinced that the legislation is going to be supported. But they believe that a tax may be supported. And so there'll be some joint effort there.
Yeah. Yeah, anytime though you've got the same topic and you're trying to ask people to vote yes on one, no on another, good luck.
I agree, right?
They don't know which one they're voting yes and no on.
That's right.
So, Council, that concludes my summary of the legislation. I don't know if you've got any questions for me at this point in time, but if you don't, I'm more than happy to turn it over to you, and perhaps, if Ken, you so desired, you could turn it over to the public as well.
Okay. Thank you very much. And any other questions, anybody?
No, right now.
Okay. Anything from?
No, just listen, and then I'm sure we'll talk some more and try to figure out what you'd like staff to do on this. It's a little bit different than a lot of our issues. I'd be sitting here, or Corey, we'd be sitting here saying, you know, we need to do this because of.
Right.
You know, it's really not an income issue for us. I mean, you know, in that sense. I mean, like Jeremy said, the revenue is going to be fairly small regardless. People can grow at home. So, you know, that horse left the barn. So, you know, it's not a financial issue particularly. We've already got groups calling us wanting pieces of the money. So, like TAPS.
It was the
local, because they would want some of the revenue from it.
Ah.
So, you know, they're already lining up for that, groups are. But we don't have, in other words, we have, I guess we're not getting complaints either way. You know, we haven't had any issues on the two dispensaries that are here. You know, we've had no police interaction. I was with the sheriff today. So I'm just saying there's nothing. Normally we'd be sitting here saying you need to do this to solve this, and this is really sheer the council and just your own, what you are trying to do, and call it more the politics that you're elected to make those things. There's nothing for us to say you should vote yes or you should vote no, because we're actually very happy that we don't need to. We're going to go along and work on whatever you want. I mean, it will cost some staff time and money to move forward on a couple ordinances, and if we're talking about a tax, you know, establishing a tax to be voted on, also establishing then the ban, if you want to do that. And at the same time, doing time, place, and manner on recreational. Because I do think we need that, regardless, because you don't want to risk the vote. So we need to get that going. So I just think it's, you know, we're going to be spending quite a bit of time on it, kind of working on some of these things. We have no applications pending for any more dispensaries at this time that we're aware of. We did have someone come in and talk to us about the, and Jeremy, just on the on this, just the kind of called industrial park type commercial grow operations. Our cities, you know, Cook County just banned commercial grow operations or some, I don't know. What is that all part of something they can ban, or is it just the retail sales?
The growing operations for medical marijuana are not specifically addressed, is that correct? Yeah, the medical marijuana growing operations are not specifically addressed in House Bill 3400. In fact, it's interesting, there's been some suggestion that that was intentional. Recreational growing operations, in contrast, are addressed.
So what, if we wanted to put a ban about marijuana, would we, are we just talking retail sales of recreational marijuana? What about...
No, well, it's up to the council. I identify in the memo, right. I believe six different activities or operations that House Bill 3400 would permit the city to effectively ban. And as long as it's within those six, then you've got no issue referring that ordinance to the voters under House Bill 3400. Now, to quickly backtrack, remember that some cities believe, there are some that have taken the position that regardless of the existence or non-existence to or of House Bill 3400, under our Home Rule Charter authority, we already have the authority to ban it, despite what House Bill 3400, you know, purportedly authorizes the city to do.
Now, we have a commercial grower in the industrial park. We had another one come in and talk to us. Now, he was growing medical. I don't know what he's growing other than marijuana. But he's growing medical. He had his medical guys on the wall, their cards. And now, of course, the legislature's limited that. His were all California-based, so they're going to find Oregon people, so that'll change. And then they reduce the numbers. This guy's pre-existing. Does he also grandfather it in to keep growing?
I'd have to look at the legislation and look at his operations, Rick, but it's possible that he may be grandfathered in. Now, it's not to say, even with respect to this particular establishment, if he was grandfathered in, it's not to say that the council can't adopt, as you know, time, place, manner restrictions as it relates to his operation and any other operation similar to his.
Yeah, I mean, he's located where we would want
him. Right,
I mean, I don't think
right.
There's a problem there, but he's in an industrial park. Can they grow both recreational and medical in the same facility?
You know, I don't know. I'd have to look at that. I don't know off the top of my head if they can grow both. My gut tells me that as of now, under the current legislation, probably not, but I would need to look into it.
Yeah, I'm wondering if where you're going to head is this all gets mold a little more kind of brought together. I mean, right now you're running this two-tiered system of recreation and medical, but I'm wondering as this matures the discussion over the next year or two, you start to where the differences are less. And that's, if you look out long term, and you know, but, and it just makes it so confusing. I can't keep it straight, so I think hopefully all of you can.
Yeah, it's clear as mud, I'm sure, for most. It's brutal.
All about money.
Jeremy, if the state inspects the site to be a possible dispensary, would they notify the city that that site would be within? That there is an inspection that's been approved by the
You know, if you're talking about post-issuance of the permit and post-establishment, I don't know whether or not the state, OHA in particular, is going to go and notify the city when they're inspecting the site. That's a great question. I guess, frankly, the city could always send OHA a letter requesting that any time they complete an inspection of one of the dispensaries located in the city limits, that they, you know, as a professional courtesy, would request that they notify the city. But I know of no legislation currently that imposes an obligation on OHA to notify us when an inspection occurs.
Okay, thank you.
Now, before a new one is established, they're going to come here first.
Well, of course.
If that's your question.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
That one.
Yeah, post-establishment, that's a little bit different.
Okay,
Let's talk about...
To give them your name, just so they know who's talking.
This is Matt Topher again with High Desert Botanicals, one of the dispensaries in Lapine. I'm going to talk about the taxes again. Talking about the state-imposed tax of not more than 3% or more. How does that affect the city's 5% tax?
Out of the state 17?
No, out of the state's medical...
Does our 5% go away, Jeremy, that we adopted?
Remember, the state's tax is recreational, not medical.
Right.
That 17% is recreational sales, not medical.
On the state's medical side of imposing a tax.
There is no state...
There is no state medical tax.
But the rule that the cities can impose a tax, but not up to more than 3%, was that what I heard you say?
No, that 3% cap is with relationship to recreational sales.
Oh, okay.
So you
and
think
so currently there's no state tax on medical marijuana sales. The city does have a tax that it's imposed on medical marijuana sales.
Okay, so how does that affect the 15% tax that the city's putting on?
On recreational?
Well, if you're the state, if you're going to take the position that the city's tax is superseded by the state tax.
Okay. So,
and if you're the city, you could arguably take the position that that's not the case in light of the fact that the city adopted its tax prior to the state's adoption of its attempt to prevail or supersede the city tax. If you're the state, you're going to say that our tax supersedes yours, and if you're the city is going to take the position that no, our tax was adopted first, and therefore your attempt to tax over ours is not enforceable.
Do you add the two together?
The Home Rule Charter Authority.
Hey, Jeremy, because I know that, and that's what he's talking about, there'll be litigation on this.
I want to be careful because some of the legal nuances as it relates to the enforceability or lack thereof with respect to the city's taxes needs to be held in executive session.
Yeah, but we're not talking any details here, Jeremy. I mean, my God, this is going to be fought by bigger cities than us.
Agreed.
We're not saying anything that's going to give anyone any bits of information. But yeah, so what my question is, do you take the 15 we adopted, add it to the 17 that the state's doing, does that put a combined tax of those two if we are allowed to tax?
Arguably it does, Rick.
So you're going to have a 30.
That's ridiculous.
That's what Washington did, and look what happened to Washington's medical dispensaries. They're on their way out.
But this is recreational.
Right, and this goes back to another question. If you guys don't do the opt-out, don't you think us medical dispensaries are going to drop? Or if you guys did do the, and just go with the recreational license? Because that's really what we're after. I mean, it is a medical product, but it is the same product as recreational. We don't need to, it's just two different taxes. That's all it is. And so really the question is, don't you think that if the recreational retailer's license gets distributed next year, spring, summer, fall, that the medical, whether we can have both or not, are just going to drop the medical if we can't have both and just go for that recreational? Because that's really ultimately what we want, or at least what I want, is the recreational license. If we can't have both, is what I'm saying is I would drop the medical and go for that recreational.
I can see that happening.
Totally. And that's what Washington dispensaries are doing already. Hmm.
So you're saying that based upon the tax?
Based upon the tax.
So there's no state...
Based upon sales to the consumers, I should say. There's only a limited amount of cardholders out there versus the general public. So my sales are very limited to what they could be once I get that recreational license.
But they're allowed to grow their own anyway.
Yeah, but that's not many people want to sit at home and grow their own. There's a lot of people that just want to get in and out of a convenience store and get what they need.
So are we asking if the medical marijuana authority, and they decide, okay, I can make more money with recreational, so I'm going to change my
license.
Can they do that easily?
Well, that's why we need time, place, and manner rules.
Okay.
So that'd be like, if we have them in place, and there's no ban.
That's correct, Rick. It's both of those components.
And actually, the business would have to stop doing business as medical marijuana
That's correct.
With
under current legislation, that's exactly right.
And before it could start recreational.
Yeah. And what he's saying is, I'll drop medical to do recreation.
Right.
But doesn't the fact that the state's imposing a 17% tax on recreational marijuana, and there is no tax on the...
I'm going to pass that to the consumer, though. And yes, it is a big tax, but you're looking at such a bigger picture of sales.
Well, yeah, but I'm saying there's no... Well, okay.
Our 5%.
Okay. Our 5% would be minimal.
That's what I'm saying is...
But I see the idea about... there being the broad spectrum of people available to sell to.
It's not Highway 97. You get a lot of traffic coming up through here.
Yeah.
I mean, it makes sense, right? Doesn't it make sense? We're trying to tier out these two same products by looking at them in two different ways.
But what he's saying is what everyone has known. Medical marijuana, for the most part, again, I'm not saying for everyone, but for the most part, was a way for the general public to legally buy and smoke marijuana.
There you go.
And the only means they could do it was to get a medical marijuana card. And that's why you go online and get the doctor to give you a prescription. It was a charade for recreational. But the voters have now legalized recreation. And so, I mean, you're hearing it from...
Yeah.
There's medical over time will decrease because of recreational is available. And that makes sense if you think about it.
Well, I don't really agree with that because there's a 5% tax on medical, and there's going to be a 20% possible tax, or higher tax. I mean, I don't really see.
I stand by that. I stand by it because I don't have to go get a prescription every year from a doctor. I don't have to go through all of that kind of stuff. I just walk into a place anywhere I want and buy it.
Yeah.
And so over time, I'm not saying at first, but over time, the need for medical will... People wouldn't go to a pharmacy to buy their Vicodin if I could go to Safeway and get it over the counter.
Mm-hmm.
I mean...
And probably cheaper.
So... It's that transition year or 2 or 3 we're in, I think, as this plays.
Okay. Any other questions or...
I got one more actually.
Okay.
Regarding the medical taxes again, where's that tax money going?
Right now we have the thing. We've taken how much.
I'm just wondering if you guys are going to like build something or be like, yeah, we're...
But right now it wouldn't build us a... wouldn't build one streetlight.
The way I see things going, by the end of the year, you guys will have enough money in that fund to do something.
Well, we don't spend it ahead. We're not the federal government, so believe me, it is not. Well, as a tax, there isn't enough there to spend. You should be happy. We're not out. This isn't being driven
but
by money.
Paying it monthly is a little ridiculous, I think. And when I calculate it out in a year's time or 2 years time, I can see some money getting built up in this.
We will see.
So
when
as
we
a
get
member
it.
Of the community, I'm just wondering where's our tax money's going.
It hasn't gone anywhere.
Okay.
It's in the bank.
Yeah.
We haven't spent any of it.
I'm just wondering if you had a thought of
none.
Were,
none. I see. It is a small amount of money.
I understand.
And we're not going to pre-spend it.
Well, once rec hits, it'll be a little bit bigger than that.
Well, no, because we don't know where that's going to end up.
Yeah.
And if we only get 10% of the 17%, do the math on that.
Well, you don't get 10% of the 17%.
We get, what is the number?
All the cities get 10%.
All of the cities in the state get 10%.
It's something in the paper the other day that Levine would only get around a little over two.
No, the way I get this, but again, I didn't glance, I mean, I don't know all this. I think... Jeremy, am I right? It says there's a 17% tax, but then how you break it up is the 40, 20, and 10.
That's
that all
right.
Adds to 100. We're getting 10% of 17, which is 1.7%. I don't know. You guys do
that. And it's even less than that, Rick, because then that, at least in as of what, July or after July 1 of 2017, that's been further broken up amongst the cities.
See?
Based 10%. Upon the number of licensees located in the city.
And that's after 2016, though.
That's after July 1 of 17, Ken.
Right.
So,
I knew it was
bottom right. line is, it isn't going to be any money.
It's not. It's exactly. That's what I'm trying to say. In my mind, I don't have actual numbers, so I can't necessarily quantify it. But my gut is telling me, and based upon what I have heard from cities that have run the numbers, you're talking about a very nominal amount of money, and therefore, as Rick correctly stated, I believe that this is more of a policy-driven decision than a financial-driven decision.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I think people think we're going to get a 10%, but I said it's 10% of the 117.
Yeah.
And like he said, then if it's got a formula based on, the state will take their management over the top of that 10%.
Everything.
And then they're going to divide it by the number of dispensaries?
Based on, well, up until July 1st, 2017, it's based on population size.
Right.
So you're only going to get a small portion because of the size of the city.
Right.
And then after that, it's broken down based on the number of licenses you have in the jurisdiction.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I've got a quick question. When does the 17% tax go into play? I mean, from what I understand, from October 1st to December 31st, it's going to be a 15% tax from the city. Isn't that correct? Don't you guys have a 15% tax on it for recreational sales? So isn't it, you guys are going to be generating some revenue in between that time until the legislation comes around to maybe the city put it on a 3%?
That would be the case if there was recreational marijuana in the city.
Sales. Correct, yes.
Which
I didn't quite hear the question, but if I may, real quickly, there's a 25% tax applied to a dispensary sale of recreational marijuana, and that's from October 1 through December of 16. The 17% applies to the recreational sale from a recreational outlet.
Say the first part of that again, Jeremy, please.
There's a 25% tax assessed against a dispensary's early sale of recreational marijuana. That's the state tax. And then the 17% tax under House Bill 2041 applies to recreational establishments selling recreational products.
Once they issue retailer licensing.
Yeah, from what I understand, from what I've read, I don't know if this is true or not, you're the attorney, but I figured it was a 25% tax from once we get our licenses, which would be, I mean, after we're obviously operating, but after January 4th, 2016.
According to my reading of the legislation, if a medical marijuana dispensary elects to sell limited marijuana retail product on and after January 4th, commercial sales, those sales, will be subject to the state-imposed tax of 25%. So if that's what, I can barely hear you, but if that's what you said, you are correct.
Okay. So is that 25% tax going to remain the same from October 1st to January 4th, for instance?
I believe that tax only applies as of January 4th, but I'd have to look at it to confirm that. And again, it applies to dispensaries. And that would be in addition to perhaps any tax that a city had imposed. But I could definitely look at the legislation and confirm the commencement date of that tax.
I think that the question needs to come back around for the city, though, is we're spending, and I understand because, believe me, if I was in your shoes, as we, at least, this is not a revenue issue for the city. So, there's going to be a lot of legislation, there's going to be court fights and everything else. We're going to collect what others decide we're going to collect when this is all said and done in the big sense. And, you know, it's like getting gas tax, cigarette tax, and alcohol tax. We could spend days and weeks worrying about how much we're going to get. I don't know that that is why we're here or where we're going. The question really is, recreational, do we want to start working on time, place, and manner restrictions on recreational?
Yes.
I mean, do we want to start moving forward on a November 2016 ban to be put to the voters, referred to the voters?
Yes.
And I suppose the third one would be the tax, if we wanted to put a local tax or something on also that November ballot. But those are the three things that I think, that's the real question.
Sorry.
Well, and Rick, I don't know if you said this, but in the more immediate question, I think the first question that needs to be answered is whether or not we're going to permit dispensaries to sell retail product.
Right. Well, but that goes, yeah, okay, yeah.
Is that between October 1st and when we get our licenses, January 4th?
Yes, it's between October 1 and January, October 1 of this year,
okay,
through December 31st of 16.
Well, I've definitely got something to comment on that. I mean, I just now completed a big investment into my facility for recreational sales because I mean, obviously this meeting's coming about afterwards, but as a business owner, I'm already invested a little more in my facility. I mean, quite a bit more. So, I mean, as far as my perspective, from my views, I'd definitely like to sell recreational cannabis for sure and medical. In conjunction. I mean, I've got two separate points of sales now, so.
And back to the tax. So the 25% from October 1st to January, is that going to include the city's 15% tax that you guys?
I don't know.
Okay. Well, October to, you know, November, I need to know whether I'm getting 25 or 40%.
Well, you'll know, first we have to decide if we're going to do it or not.
Okay.
The tax, I think we need to move away from the tax unless, okay. Yeah. If you guys are ready to talk about the issues here.
Yeah.
Okay. So the issues are moving forward on time, place, and manner.
Like Jeremy said, even use the do we want to put basically a moratorium for a few months on recreational sales? Do we want to make any decisions today, so it's all just talking. Do we want to move toward put it on the ballot? And then, of course, time, place, and manner. And time, place, and manner is probably pretty easy because I know you're going to want that.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So that will take us a few months to probably work that out. And again, there's a lot of cities working on this. But I mean, we know what we did with medical, and I'm assuming it'd be something along those lines. We have to kind of figure it out. But he also wait for the OLCC, because otherwise we go pass an ordinance, and then they're going to come up with something else, and who knows how all this. I think it's dangerous getting too far ahead of everything, because then all you're doing is redoing stuff.
I agree. And so to frame it up, Ken, Council, issue number one, do you want to permit dispensaries to sell recreational marijuana?
That's number one.
That's issue number one. That's the one that needs your immediate attention.
So what do we need to know about that today?
Well, I just, if you all wanted to discuss it and provide me a general sense as to what direction you're inclined to go, then I can respond by either revising and ultimately presenting to you an ordinance prohibiting those early sales, or if you're okay with the dispensary selling recreational marijuana, then I don't need to take any action on it whatsoever.
And we have to do that by
October 1st.
Right. So, and we have our meeting, of course, coming up on the
9th.
So today's Monday. We would have to have that ordinance done by tomorrow.
Or you could do it the second meeting in September.
Well, normally it's a work session and things, so yeah, we could make that a meeting. We got three extra meetings this month beyond our regular meetings, so
okay.
We can do that. But you're not going to have it done by tomorrow, I'm sure.
Well, yeah, I'm leaving for the coast.
Yeah, so we'd have to be later in September.
Well, then we need to give some kind of idea about what direction we want to go.
Yeah, we need to hear from you what your thoughts are.
Okay. So basically there's a need to describe what your thoughts are. Our thoughts are about.
Okay. Well, I'll cut to the chase. I think we need to get Jeremy started on this. I don't think we need to be selling recreational out of a medical dispensary. When we approved medical, I think we heard from the people that applied for those medical dispensaries that they didn't want to sell recreational out of those facilities. So I think we need to move forward with this. The state, I'm tired of the state putting everything on the cities.
I am tired.
You know, if I'm just tired of it. And I know it's, you know, a burden on some people, but it's a burden on the city. And I think if we put it to a vote of the people, then if the people vote yes, then fine. I'll go along with that because, you know, we represent the people. And if the people want it, then through a election, then fine, we'll give it to them. But until that point, until the rules are clarified, I don't want to run a risk of a medical dispensary selling recreational when we don't even know what the rules are yet. So I think for the protection of everybody within the city, I think we need to move forward with putting some together.
Kathy?
Mine was yes, yes, yes with what Jeremy said to move ahead on. I agree. Hindsight is wonderful.
Okay, I support that.
So what you guys are saying is we want to have an ordinance that puts a ban or puts the temporary moratorium on until sometime in the spring or whatever date that is. Secondly, we will come up with the stuff and bring it to council and hold hearings and all those things. But right. we would then put together. You want to move toward the ballot measure.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Toward the ballot measure in 2016. And in the meantime, we will also begin to work on time, place, and manner when that's appropriate over the next few months so that if and when they come, there are rules in place.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
How's that?
That's it.
A little more organized than Salem.
Okay. And then with the other thing then we needed to, we'll talk more, Jeremy, I think, about the tax side of this. Him and I can talk about that.
Yeah, absolutely.
We'll talk about the tax side to see where that all is and who knows about the 17s and the 15s and how they all add or don't add. But if we're not selling them, it doesn't matter for a while.
That's correct.
Because you're not going to be paying any tax.
Because this does not affect medical.
No.
That's correct.
Okay.
And I will just add that we are in very good footing or very good position as far as I'm concerned as it relates to the tax on medical marijuana. So.
Okay.
Okay.
Great. So I will work with Rick to present an ordinance banning the early sale of recreational marijuana product from the dispensaries. And then I will move forward with working with Rick and Corey to develop the TPMs for recreational marijuana as we also move forward with the development of an ordinance to send to the electors in November of 16.
Okay.
Very good. Any other final questions for me?
Anybody?
Just a comment. People of Oregon voted recreational sales in, so. To ban them in a city or to feel like you guys, you know, need to jump in and ban and do a moratorium is, I don't understand that quite a bunch. I understand that Deschutes County, you know, was 50-something percent for it. You know, I deal with the community all the time, and I know the community's for it, so I can stand by the community as a community member and say, yeah, recreational sales, early sales should happen because we'll be looking at this time next year. And so is what you guys are doing is you're going to allow the black market to thrive. The people that don't come into the medical shop, to the medical dispensaries, that don't have a card, where do you think they're buying their pot? Where do you think they're buying their stuff? On the streets, right here in town. So if you don't allow these recreational temporary sales, you can continue to see that happen. I think it's a good thing. I mean, we already have such a system put into place for the medical dispensaries. Those things are locked down like Fort Knox. I mean, there is no reason that we couldn't easily, it's the same product, easily check people in from the general public, put that tax into place, and get on with life. You guys should really think about what you're doing as far as banning the early sales of recreational. Definitely.
I agree with it. I mean, I take the same position as Matt. I agree with him on that. A lot of the money will be driven to Ben. Lapine medical dispensaries are already taking a hard hit with a 5% tax just for medical. I'm not complaining at all. I love to give money back to the community. I agree with that. But a lot of our business is going to Bend. And if we ban recreational, Bend is not. And all the business is going to be going to Bend. That's a lot of money and revenue not staying in Lapine and going towards other businesses here. So it affects everybody. Not just us and everybody else, it affects all business owners here. And if we want our money going to Ben, banning recreational, I mean, this is a huge money market, banning recreational sales just for this immediate time is going to really put a funk on the Pine, put us in a place where we could have been when we're not going to be there.
I have had tons of community members come into the medical shop, right into the waiting room right there, and ask, can we come in? Yeah. I'm like, no, not till, you know, hopefully in October, you know, and so this will be a big letdown, just to let you guys know.
Well, we'll have a hearing. So there'll be a hearing, yep. And, you know, we'll take the testimony and then hear from there. We've got one councilman missing and one vacancy. And because we have to do it in September, it'll still be vacant, probably. So we'll see. But bottom line is, this isn't a vote. This is giving direction. I think we'll hear from people.
Absolutely.
You know.
For sure.
Okay.
That's all on that.
If there are no council comments, any?
You can show you some pictures of where we were today at a house that she has. We were out.
We need.
Oh, Jeremy can go, yeah.
Rick, I'm going to do my best to get you that ordinance tomorrow before I take off so that you can get it in your meeting packet. Worst case scenario, but I'll definitely follow up with you tomorrow.
Thank you, Jeremy.
Okay. Thank you, Jeremy.
Have a safe
and care, everyone.
Have a safe and fun trip.
Yeah.
Very much. Right. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye, Jeremy.
See you, Matt.
Thanks. Absolutely, guys. Great seeing you again. Same person with you. Have a good day.
So today was our first
My goodness.
So this house, we had three deputies with us. We went out. It's our first time.
On the railroad?
Yeah. Our first time we went. So just to let you see, it was worse than everyone thought when we got there. I can't put these glasses on.
Okay.
So, yeah, we went to court, so, you know, this is not a private thing. We went, so, I don't know.
Is it not moving?
There, no, there's not. Okay. That is the inside of one of the mobile homes.
Oh. That's probably at least 6 feet. Tall, probably more than that.
That's their garbage inside the trailer.
Oh.
Now, is that just a trailer?
That's a storage trailer.
That's a storage trailer.
Okay. That's the shed that's connected to a trailer that looks like that. And, yeah.
Wow.
So, and it's kind of hard to capture it pictures,
I
to be honest.
All the time.
You know.
How big are the rats?
Now, where is this?
It's
on railroad. It's on railroad.
Yeah, names and stuff we don't really care about. We're just trying to get you there's about 7 or 8 camp trailers and trailers besides the main residence on this one lot.
Goodness.
Wow.
Wow.
So where are we?
We'll go through. Well, Corey can tell you where we are. There's the drive. That's where you drive one motorhome.
That's in, yeah, looking
it's
inside.
It's a motorhome. We're going through the door.
Yeah.
Wow. That is the residence, which has lots of broken windows itself. And the people are living there. They did have a couple kids. I don't know if they're there. There was a lady living in a camp trailer. And then the
someone's living in that.
There's someone living.
That's, yeah.
So this is where we're headed. They've all been served and the different things. We went through a couple different processes. The next step, so we took down Corey and Scott. We had the county there, and then we had three deputies. And the owners were there. The dogs were put into the house, the pit bulls, and they were there while we went around. We've taken license numbers and or VIN numbers off of all of the trailers and vehicles and whatever, dump trucks.
Stuff that's clearly been sitting there for years.
Non-licensed.
Yeah.
Non-operable.
Exactly.
The plan will be we are going to go out and get some vendors, contractors that will do this kind of work. The city crews will also help. First step will be to take all, we're going to go out and post the cars and the vehicles that we're going to haul off. The tow truck around town, we'll go tow them. We're going to tow them someplace, which I won't say here. We're going to tow them somewhere, and then we will acquire title as an abandoned vehicles, and then there's a process to get rid of them, and they get junked. They'll go to scrap metal and whoever else, and we will do that with the, and then there's the same thing basically you can do with trailers and fifth wheels. You know, there are people that will buy them for the frames and things. Now, a couple of these with this much garbage, none of them will touch. So these will become, you're, you know, a little more tough. You're going to pay someone that's going to I don't know what they'll do, but obviously you can get rid of everything, but it's not as easy because of the garbage that's in there. No one wants to dig through that to get to the trailer, the frame. The frame isn't worth enough. So it'll be a kind of two or three different things happen, and we will then kind of clean up with backhoes. We'll then have some drop boxes put in there, a couple of them, with a couple on standby. When we're up there working, you need to work, and work fast. You know, it's not something where we're going to call and get a drop box 3 days later. That we'll work with our local provider, and you know, be ready. You drop.